Welcome to The City's Backyard with Matt Zacho, a podcast that interviews all walks of life from their own backyard. The City's Backyard starts now.
Today we are in the backyard with a very special guest. You know, the podcast is about the arts, entertainment, music, and community. And today our special guest is an extraordinary 98-year young Bea Franklin. She has served as a real life witness to history. And we have so much to talk about with Bea because her father was the co-founder of Pep Boys. Her husband was a photographer during World War II. And she's got all these great little stories about meeting Sinatra and witnessing that famous sailor kiss. So I'm going to let her talk about all this great stuff. I mean, you've lived a long life. You're still alive. God bless you, Bea, and welcome to the backyard. I like the sound of this. Bea is in the backyard today. So we've got Bea in the backyard. How you doing, Bea?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I am great. You know, before we started the podcast, I let you know that my parents are in their late 80s and you're in your late 90s. And so, I mean, you've lived a long life and you've seen the ups and downs. I mean, you're an American. You're an American that's a New Yorker. And the podcast is based out of the suburbs of the backyard of the Big Apple, basically, even though podcasting is nationwide and even, you know, around the world, people tune in. Most of the listeners are in the backyard, you know, the tri-state area. New England is where we have most of our listeners, of course, depending on where the guest is from. I mean, you've seen it all. Radio go from theater of the mind to black and white television. And here we are connecting on a podcast. So welcome and tell us about how it all started. You were born in Philly and then you moved to New York.
We moved to New York when I was nine. We moved to Forest Hills, and I lived in Forest Hills until I was married, which was in 1945. And then we moved here to Lawrence, which is on Long Island.
Tell us about your dad. Was one of the founders of Pep Boys?
Well, he wasn't one of the founders. Mo was my uncle, and there was another, originally there was another Jack whose name really was Jack. And for some reason, he left very early in the development of Pep Boys. And my Uncle Mo, my father was a lawyer at the time. So, and he was doing some legal work, I believe, for the Pep Boys. And when Jack left, my uncle asked my father if he would take the name Jack for professional reasons. My dad said, sure, it's okay. You can call me Jack if you want to. Because his given name was Isaac Mayer. So, but people in the automotive industry, automotive parts industry, knew him only as Jack. And that's how he stayed until he decided he wanted to be out on his own. And he told my uncle he would never go into competition with him. He never did. And he commuted from Philadelphia to New York for 4 years. And when the business really took off, he decided it was time to move to New York. So I was nine when we moved to New York. And the rest is history. The business, my father retired and my brother took over and it went downhill. And I don't remember what year that was, but it didn't last long with my brother at the head.
So Pep Boys, you know, still being in existence, does your family still run that or no? It was sold off.
Oh, no, it was sold off, I believe. I know. I think one of my cousins is still involved with Pep Boys.
But well, you should hit him up for some money.
Believe me, from what I understand, he could more than afford to give me some of that money.
So let's move on to, you know, your husband, who was a photographer, right?
Yes, he was. His given name was Gerald Franklin, Everyone called him Jerry, just like everyone calls me B. No one calls me by my given name. Many of the pictures that he has taken of war generals was with General Clark. And I have a couple of pictures of General Clark addressed to my husband. It was a very happy occasion for my husband. He loved his work.
He also took a photo of the then President Franklin Roosevelt, right? And Dwight Eisenhower?
And General Patton, yes. The three of them are in a Jeep.
In Italy.
And I forgot what town it was. It was someplace in
Sicily.
Italy.
Yeah, it was Sicily.
Right.
And it was on December 8th, 1943. Your husband also crossed paths with some of Hollywood's legendary film stars, including Humphrey Bogart, Mickey Rooney, Joey Lewis, Tony Curtis, and Jack Lemmon.
That one, I'm not sure about. I've never heard about that one. But names pop up all the time. He had a very interesting life in the Army. He never complained about the Army life. Never, ever did I hear one word about it was muddy, it was hot, it was rainy. I never heard it from my husband. Jerry never, ever talked about it. And I hardly know anything about his life in the Army because it was past and he didn't want to revive it.
You know, I have a friend whose dad was in the Army, and he says the same thing. He really didn't hear much. It was almost like it was top secret. They didn't even tell their family some of the stories, and maybe they just didn't want to relive some of those horrific moments in war. War is not pretty, right? And this was World War II.
Right.
But, I want to take a break and come back, because tied into World War II was that iconic sailor kiss in Times Square. So we're going to leave the listeners hanging on for a minute to think about that. But you witnessed that kiss, and we want to hear all about it, because, again, B is in the backyard of the Big Apple. And so, and we're talking in New York City, and just the fact that you've lived in New York all these years and witnessed so much, and there's a lot of history in New York. So more with B. Franklin coming up right after the break.
Visit Rory's Restaurant, 416 Post Road in Darien. Rory's is where it's always delicious. Try their great selection of mouthwatering appetizers, hot and cold sandwiches, scrumptious entrees, and outrageous soups. Check out their menu at rorys.net or call 203-655-9453 for takeout or curbside pickup. Open 7 days.
Live music every Wednesday night at 8 at Rory's.
Let's do the time warp at Music Theater of Connecticut's production of The Rocky Horror Show. This cult classic rock musical will be live on stage in Norwalk, Connecticut. Music Theater of Connecticut saves you the trip to New York City by bringing Broadway actors to you right here in Fairfield County. The show runs March 17th to April 8th. Tickets can be purchased at 203-454-3883 or online at musictheaterofct.com. Use code RADIO for 10% off. Get your tickets today.
From hot to cold, breakfast to lunch, JV's Deli has something for everyone. JV specializes in thin crust pizza, deli sandwiches, pasta, and more. JV's Deli and Pizza, serving Norwalk for over 10 years, 15 Tierney Street, up the road from City Hall. Check out their great menu at jvsdeliandpizza.com.
Don't let an uncomfortable home keep you from enjoying it. Call the Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk at 203-855-0858 today and schedule your free system evaluation, or Google them, The Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk.
Hey, how about a great sandwich for lunch or delicious breakfast and cappuccino? This is Sergio. Come and see me at Francesca's Cafe and Grill right here on the Post Road in Norwalk, 249 Westport Avenue. Your friend Sergio here does it all, from Italy to Norwalk to coffee and cannolis. Francesca is truly a piece of Italy right here in heart of Norwalk. Check out our great menu at francescasdeli.com.
We're back. You're listening to The City's Backyard.
We are in the backyard of Queens, New York, with B. Franklin. And B, we left off, we covered the fact that your dad was a part of Pep Boys, and even your uncle, right? And then your husband was a photographer during World War II, taking photos of presidents and famous Hollywood actors. And then what happened? The war ended with Japan, and there was this famous kiss. I mean, I wasn't born. You got to tell us about this.
Well, I was attending NYU at the time, and word came in that the war was over. So we all decided that was the place to be would be in Times Square. So we all left the classroom and we took the subway up to Times Square, and we walk out into the street, and we see a lot of sailors. We see a lot of nurses still in uniform, and a lot of young people who were like us and wanted to see what was going on. And lo and behold, the sailor grabs this nurse and gives her a kiss. And we was just standing right in front of them. So when it was printed in all the newspapers, we said, we were there.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. And that was right after the two atomic bombs exploded in Hiroshima, you know, and Japan at the end of the war. So that's an iconic moment that you witnessed. So you did go to NYU. That's a great film school. Do you remember, you know, what you, were you a senior? What'd you say?
I was a senior. I graduated in 1945. Yes.
Wow.
I was studying advertising and journalism.
I told you off air that my dad was in advertising, and he was a madman. You know, you've seen the show on cable with John Hamm. And so he went down to Madison Avenue. He moved from Detroit, the Motor City. And, you know, so that era, it was what the Brat Pack, the Sinatra was big back then. And tell us a little bit about how did you actually meet Frank Sinatra or see him? Tell us the story.
I saw him. I had a birthday party at the rooftop of Hotel Astor, which was on Broadway. And Tommy Dorsey was appearing there with his band and with the local male singer who was Frank Sinatra. And when Frank stood up to sing one of his songs, he said, I must tell you that my wife has given birth to a girl named Nancy. And so we all applauded and he went into his song. So that's the only way that I met him, but I saw him many times afterwards. It's a fun, funny story that happened as we were in a restaurant. My parents and I were celebrating one of my birthdays, and Frank was appearing there, and it was one of the times that he was not that popular. And he was standing behind my mother and singing. And when he finished and sat down, my mother looked at me and she says, he'll never get any place. He sounds terrible. So I sometimes reminded her of that statement, because as you all know, he not only reached the pinnacle of male singers, he was really a nice person. For me, he was a nice person to hear sing.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was in an improv acting class last night, and we were just going in a circle, and we were singing songs, you know, and then someone would have to tap the other person on the shoulder and come into the middle of the circle and sing a song. And the instructor, the teacher, started singing these boots are made for walking. And I said, Nancy Sinatra, because I knew I was going to interview you, and I knew there was a little story there with Frank Sinatra and Nancy Sinatra. So that's pretty cool. But obviously, you know, he became a big success. So
yes, we saw him many times after that. We went to Jersey to hear him. We just sort of followed him around a little bit.
I want to take one last break, and then I want to come back and just touch on a couple things that you witnessed being at that home where you are now in Queens, you know, with your husband having some visitors at the house. So we'll leave it at that, but a couple more interesting stories from B. Franklin, 98 years old, going on 99 in a few months, right?
That's right, June.
I wished that Willard Scott was still doing the jelly birthday, you know, wishes out there on TV, but he's retired. So when you hit 100, he can't mention your name. Are you sorry about that? Didn't you want to hear?
I was very fortunate to be able to contact him when my parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. So my parents sit here from Willard.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. For those that are too young, he was a famous, weather TV personality, right?
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So more with B coming up in the backyard. We're going to take a quick break and a few more minutes with B right after this.
Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar is open and serving the best tapas in town. Come enjoy dinner and choose from their wide selection of red and white wine, sangria and cerveza as well. Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar with three locations, Westbrook, East Haven, and Norwalk.
Dave and Charlie's Hometown Deli is your go-to neighborhood deli for breakfast, lunch, and an afternoon bite, providing Boar's Head ingredients and fresh bread coming daily from Terra Nova Bakery in the Bronx, 300 Strawberry Hill Avenue, Norwalk, dchometowndeli.com. Check out Hometown's daily specials.
Live theater is back and in your own backyard at Curtain Call. There's always something on at Curtain Call at the Sterling Farms Theater Complex, Newfield Avenue in Stamford. For half the price of a Broadway ticket, a family of four can see a show at Curtain Call. Call 203-461-6358 or go online to curtaincallinc.com. That's curtaincallinc.com.
Does your business need an edge over the competition? Bruce Park Sports and Embroidery is the answer. With custom clothing designed with your company logo, they'll help you from start to finish with embroidered or screen-printed hats, shirts, jackets, and more. All work done on-site and made in the USA. Call Bruce Park Sports and Embroidery at 203-853-4488 or check them out on Yelp.
This is Vince Santilli, CEO of Homesteader Brave, inviting you to join us for our 7th annual For Veterans by Veterans Comedy Night. Every single one of our professional comics is a U.S. military veteran. The show is on Friday night, March 31st at Vizzano's Four Seasons. For information and tickets, go to www.homesteaderbrave.org, and we would love to see you there.
Hey, can't find New York-style pizza in Connecticut? Check out Planet Pizza at 607 Main Avenue, Norwalk. Dave's Planet Pizza of Norwalk. Order now at planetpizzanorwalk.com. Delivery available to Darien, New Canaan, Weston, Wilton, and Norwalk.
We are back. Did you ever imagine you would be doing a podcast from wherever you are, your kitchen? Where are you now in the home?
I am in the kitchen, but when I was married, we moved to Jamaica States for a while, and then we moved to where I am now in Lawrence, Long Island.
What year was that?
1958, we moved here.
Well, you've been there quite a long time. I mean, that's 10 years before I was born.
Yes,
I'm getting old.
No, nobody ever gets old if they don't want to get old.
So tell us a little story about some of the visitors. Is it true? Donald Trump, did you make him a sandwich? What's the story with that?
Yes,
the president.
I made him a sandwich, and he complained about the sandwich because I sliced the tomato too thick for him. So I told him I'd remember for the next time I made lunch for him, but the occasion never became a part of my living with my children.
And what was the reason he was stopping by, and how old was he at the time?
Oh, he was about 10. He was in the same class in elementary school. It was a private school. He and Rick, my oldest son, were in the same class, and they became friends, and Rick invited him over one Saturday to play, I guess. I don't remember what they were doing. And lunchtime came. I made the sandwich, and he lifted up the top piece of bread and said, looked at the tomato and said, "I like my tomato sliced thin, Mrs. Franklin." I said, "All right, I'll try to remember for the next time you're here for lunch." But that never happened.
I'm surprised you didn't say the nerve of you.
Rocky Graziano, who was a well-known boxer at the time, he spent many times in the house before we moved here in Lawrence when we lived in Jamaica States. And he was really a character. He was a fun man to be with, and he was a well-known boxer. And let's see who else was there. We've had ice hockey players have been here for Sunday brunch.
When Rocky was there, wasn't he cursing a lot?
Oh yes, he cursed quite a bit.
And you had to tell him no more cursing, or you're going to have to leave, right?
That's exactly what I told him. And Jerry looked at me like, are you crazy? You don't talk to him that way. I said, if he's in my house, I talk to him that way.
That is so cool. So that famous kiss, just going back to that sailor kiss, you were like right there. Is that visual still in your head from all those years ago?
I close my eyes. I can just picture the two of them in an embrace.
And so a photographer happened to be right there when they took the picture, and you probably saw the photographer, or I'm sure there were many photographers, no?
Absolutely. I don't remember how many photographers there were, because there were a lot of them around, you know, photographing people reacting to the news. But yes, the photographer was standing in front of us taking the picture of the well-known kiss.
Well, you've been through a lot. I mean, you survived breast cancer, you know, you obviously the war, made it through World War II, and then witnessed that awesome sailor kiss. I mean, it's just so iconic. And, when America just really was starting to boom, right? Everything boomed after the war.
That's right.
So segueing into that, we've been through some ups and downs over the years, and, you know, we go through recessions and all that. So your husband, the colonel, right? Colonel Jerry?
Corporal.
Yes. Right. He always had a positive outlook on things,
always.
Right?
Always. You never complain of a headache, nothing. You had to look at the bright side. The headache's going to be away and you'll feel much better. It was just a way of living. And it's just come to me naturally now. And I think to my sons also, I don't ever hear them complain about anything. And I tell people who, like my friends here who takes care of me sometimes, she knows if she says something, she says, I know, I have to think positively. So I said, that's right. You have to think positively. That's what got me to 98. I'm looking forward to 99 and the double O's.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And you still have, you know, your memory and all that. You're pretty sharp for being almost 100 at this point. So do you think that you were attracted to your husband because he was positive? Did you sort of find that as one of the qualities you liked?
Matt, I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth. I fell in love with him the first time he opened his mouth to talk to me. And I don't know why. I spent 5 minutes with him in my home, my parents' home, and he walked out of the house and something in my head said, you're going to marry him. And I looked at myself and said, I barely know him, but I knew I was going to marry him. And I did. I knew him for a month before we married.
Wow. So you also, over the years, have spent a lot of time socializing with your Broadway musical friends. So, you know, you do seem to like the arts, right?
Yes, I do. And my oldest son, Rick, is an aficionado of Broadway stars. And I've met many. Some of them are on tour now with different plays. And we go to different cities. If it's a city they're in that we haven't been to, we'll travel there. As a matter of fact, my son is leaving for Cincinnati tonight to see one of our friends, and I'm not even sure what show it is anymore. But that's what we do. That's part of our entertainment. I've seen Fiddler on the Roof so many times, I can't remember how many times it's been.
That's what I was going to ask you is, so being a New Yorker and, one of the greatest cities in the country, in the world, number one market as far as, the media goes for radio and TV. I think L.A. is number two. What can you say as we wind down the podcast here? It's been so much fun talking to you and hearing all these great stories. But as we go back to your husband being positive, and, what can you say? Two things. One, about living in the backyard of New York in Queens, out in Long Island. What can you say about being a New Yorker? Do you love it? And then I'll ask you the next question.
Well, I love it, but I'll tell you something interesting. I went to college. I started out at the University of Wisconsin, and they hated people who came from New York. So I'm lucky I was born in Philadelphia, and I told them I was from Philadelphia. But I didn't want them to know that I was really a New Yorker. And I'm very glad I'm a New Yorker. I gravitated to this area because of my father's business. And I just stayed here. When Jerry and I married, he was still had something to do with photography. But my father had a business. And he asked Jerry if he'd like to learn the business, and Jerry said yes. And I became very good at the business.
Speaking of the business, Pep Boys, do they still use that same logo? Is that an original?
Yes, they still use that logo. Yes,
with the three guys,
Manny, Mo, and Jack. Manny was a cigar user, and he
smoker.
Smoker, yes. And from what I understand, he and Mo became friends during World War One when they were both in the Navy. And they, when the war was over and they were discharged, they decided that the world is going to become attached to automobiles, and they wanted to have something to do with it. And that's how they started Pep Boys.
Wow, it's so interesting because, again, after the war, everything boomed. People bought cars and houses, and life was, I heard the 50s was a great decade. As we put a wrap on it, what's your advice to people right now going through ups and downs? I mean, inflation is out of control. Gas prices are high. It's sort of, in a way, tough times, wouldn't you say?
It is tough times, but as I've said many times, you have to keep it pleasant, and you make the most of what you're dealt. We can't do anything about what we're dealt sometimes, but if you think positively that something's going to be better, it will be better because you make it better. You have the will to make it better.
Be better. Again, playing off the letter B, how appropriate. Be better from B in the backyard. I mean, a perfect way to wind down the podcast. This has been so much fun. I could keep talking to you, but we're going to wrap it up and leave people just thinking about all those great things you said and just all the history tied into Pep Boys and, automobiles and that iconic kiss. And the fact that, you grew up in the backyard of New York there in Queens. B. Franklin, 98, going on 99. Thanks so much for dropping by the backyard today.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the interview.
That puts a wrap on another edition of The City's Backyard. We'll be back next week with more interesting topics, great guests, and fun conversation about what's happening in and around your community. That's it for now. We'll see you soon.